Over there. Appreciate the opportunity so much to come, and again, thank you for the food and the opportunity to stay with the Reynolds. We appreciate that and the fellowship there and all the provisions, your kindness, the fellowship that we have one with another. It's been a real encouragement, and I appreciate the messages from Brother Jack, and we trust that all we might have been a blessing to you as well. Also, while you turn to Genesis 48, I'm going to break from the theme, I guess, but we're going to give you some information tonight that I think is very interesting. I think it'll be helpful. It kind of plays off. I spoke on faith last night and the attitude of a servant in regard to faith. And this will involve faith, and you'll understand that as we go along, but it's going to incur a good number of verses and with good information. But it will be somewhat hard to follow in if you just try to write everything down and all that. So what I have done is I made a copy of the historical data that I'm going to give to you, present to you. They're on a half sheet over here, and I decided for you that if you're interested in that afterwards and want to look at it and check me out, make sure I wasn't lying to you and all that kind of thing, then you can pick one of those up, take it with you. It's good information, I think. And but if I was almost handed it out, but then I thought you might be just focusing on the outline too much, and that would be distracting. The message should be simple enough to follow, but the information, and you'll understand as we go through why I provided notes for you. And so if you want that afterwards, feel free to take it. If not, line a birdcage with it, do whatever you want. But it's there, and we want that to be available to you. This is something that the Lord showed me not too long ago. It's nothing new. It's just Bible, but I found it very interesting and encouraging, and that's my intent, is to encourage you. So, Genesis chapter 48, verse 3 and verse 4, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." Have you ever known anyone who claimed Christianity but who later denied the faith? They used to be regular churchgoers and expressed great interest in spiritual things, but then they walked away. They don't go to church anymore. At most, they go very rarely. They don't have any interest in spiritual things. They don't and won't speak about Jesus. The supposed faith which they had seemed to dissipate. Know anybody like that? Well, such things happen. If you would think of Judas Iscariot, he had faith for about 3.5 years. But then he turned against Jesus and betrayed him to the Jewish leadership. His faith didn't last. Then there are the disciples who followed after Jesus for a time, recorded in John chapter 6, who after some difficult teaching of which they did not believe, walked away. And so John 6 verse 66 says, "From that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." John writes of those apostates in his epistle in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 19, "They went out from us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Their faith didn't last. And I wonder, what type of faith do you have? Is your faith a temporary one? Or will what you believe carry you throughout your life? And I trust and pray that your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior is one that will stick. And that is a lifelong faith. Well, that's what I've chosen to speak to you tonight. The title of the message is Lifelong Faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Again, the privilege of being in your house and with these people. And Lord, what a blessing it has been. And I pray that these blessings would continue long past the time we say amen tonight. And we just ask you to richly bless this church, continue to guide her and direct her, and bless the pastor and all the members, and meet all the needs. So many of the prayer requests have been offered, and Lord, you know, and we just cast them at your feet. And we just want to honor you tonight. And Lord, we think of what you've done in our lives, and we know you've changed us, but we also believe that that change lasts forever, that it really is indeed a lifelong faith. But some do not express that. In other words, there are some who say that they've been changed, but they walk away. That might be befuddling to us, O God, but it's no surprise to you. And so as we look into these things tonight, may it be an encouragement to us, not only as we look at history of the Scripture and things that we find here, but that we might glean some practical aspects from it that we might be encouraged as we endeavor to live for you all the days of our lives. And so we give you the honor and the glory. And Lord, we love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to think about lifelong faith. Down near the end of his life, Jacob got sick. And Joseph brought his sons to receive a blessing. And at that time, Jacob speaks to Joseph and relates a long-standing promise from God. That's our text. That's what we read. And this promise regards the inheritance of the promised land. And Jacob uses this to preface that he is claiming Ephraim and Manasseh as his direct descendants. And so you look into verse 5 and you can follow up on that. But what jumps out to me, and what I wish to emphasize, is the time between the initial event at Luz and this late date recollection. I intend to prove to you that nearly 70 years has passed since Bethel. Beyond that, I'm going to demonstrate, or attempt to demonstrate, the similar scenarios found within four generations, beginning with Abraham and down to Joseph. Therefore, I will not look at Jacob alone, but also, and I begin with Abraham, and then we will look at Isaac, and of course, Jacob, and then Joseph. And this encompasses my message. This is the historical data that I want to give unto you as we look through the Word of God. And I want to prove that main proposition, but we'll see so many things as we go along. Again, all this will be on the notes. If you want to pick it up afterwards and review it, you're certainly welcome to do so. Well, let me offer you this by going back way to Genesis chapter 12. That's where we have to start. Genesis chapter 12. Now, from my perspective, as we begin reading here in verse 1 down through verse 3, I call this the initial pre-blessing, if you will, because we'll see as we begin in these verses that it talks about the promise made to Abraham about the promised land. And I recognize that the book of Hebrews tells us by faith he left. But for Abraham, I'm not starting the clock on this one. I'm not going to start it right here. But in Genesis, so I call it the pre-blessing. If you want to start the clock here, you're welcome to change the notes and say, this is it, this is where it begins. That's your business. Then it'll be longer than the time I submitted unto you. Oh, but anyway, here it is, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a tremendous blessing this is. Promise of God. Abraham was 75 years old at this time. That's the time in his life. That's older than a great many of us here today. 75 when he receives this pre-blessing, at least I haven't started the clock yet on him. But if you'll go through the Scriptures, we're not going to look at every verse. We really don't have the time for all that. But you understand, he comes to Canaan after his father dies out of Haran and all that. He comes into Canaan over a period of time. He goes down into Egypt. And after the famine is over, he comes back out of Egypt, goes back into the land. When he comes back into the land, he splits with Lot. So you're going to get a real survey of the book of Genesis here, I guarantee you. But he splits from Lot here. And look into chapter 13 and look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where there are northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Still pre-blessing in my book. You can start the clock here if you wish, but I'm not going to. But what you find if you go through, well, over a period of time, the kings of the east come over and they attack the land and they carry away Lot and all the people in the area, and Abraham gets his tribe together and associated neighbors, and they go out and chase after him and rescue Lot, and so brings Lot back and he meets up with Melchizedek. So we're just flying through the book, right? We'll go to chapter 15. Genesis 15. After he meets up with Melchizedek, God appears to Abram in a vision. Here's where I'm going to start the clock on Abram, or Abraham. But in Genesis chapter 15, verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars," or count the stars, "if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." I start the clock here because this is when we have an expression in the Scripture how that he believed the Lord, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Every theologian I know would account the salvation of Abraham to this point. They don't talk about the faith that he had when he left out of Ur of the Chaldees and all that. Hebrews says he had faith. But here is his conversion. At least that's my take on it. And so I start the clock on Abraham right now. God had given him the pre-blessing, told him about a land. He came in, went back out, came back in, and had the pre-blessing again, and our confirmation. But now, after Melchizedek, he gives him the very same thing. It's your land. Here's my promise to you, and you will be blessing to all the earth. And it's an everlasting thing. And boy, there's so much more than just the Jews inheriting that little piece of dirt over there. So much more. So what we have here is a confirmation of the promise again. But this time I start the clock on this guy. And the only thing I can really submit unto you, and if you take these notes and you examine it, maybe you come up with a better definition. I just call this pre-Ishmael. I mean, it's not like we have, you know, a clock running on him and we know exactly these dates. But I think this was pre-Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 when Ishmael was born. So when he got the initial promise, he was 75. Ishmael was born when he was 86. So all the things that we covered up to this point where he believed in the Lord for righteousness covered about 11 years. And I would submit unto you that down at the end of that 11 years is when this occurs, just prior to the birth of Ishmael. That's my take on it. So I'm going to start old Abraham here with the clock at 86 years of age. Here's the promise. He believes the promise. He's going to follow after the promise. Go over to chapter 17. You know, in the process of time that God decided that he was going to, well, make a covenant with Abraham and give him the covenant of circumcision. About 13 years passed. And here's the second confirmation. Abraham is 99 years old. That's what verse 1 says. And so in chapter 17, verse 7, he says, notice what he tells him. "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant. And to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." Boy, it sounds like a broken record. But God always keeps His promises. And so, here it is. Abraham receives a confirmation of the promise that he had heard and believed when he was 86-ish, maybe 85, but someplace in that vicinity. And this was 13 years later. Here comes another promise to him, a confirmation. Well, if you follow in the history, chapter 18 and all that, talks about Sodom and Gomorrah and the issues that are going on there and how that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Well, we recognize that following that, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac, the son of promise, was born. Chapter 21, verse 5 will tell you that. And if you study your Bible, you understand and you know that Abraham was 100 when the son of promise, Isaac, was born. Then, if you look on to chapter 22, Abraham offers Isaac. And I just referenced the whole chapter because it deals with that subject mainly, but I just want to point out a few verses here. Verse 15 through verse 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. This is after he passed the test. And the angel of God comes in the second time and he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. What's the promise? That in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Again and again and again, same promise. You think Abraham believes that promise? He reacted with faith, but I started the clock when he was 85, 86. So. Here he is, 100, and he believes that, and then he comes in the process of time. He offers up Isaac, and the statement comes back to him again. And, well, most people would guess that Isaac was probably in his late teens or early 20s. We don't know how old he was when he was offered up. He certainly wasn't just a little kid, you know, like two or three, and he had no concept. Isaac was older. And most will generate his age to be about a teenager or in his early 20s. And here the promise comes to him again. I want to stop for just a second and offer you a chronology, if I may. And so we're going to insert some information in this as we continue to unfold this, hopefully for you to see. Under this matter of the chronology, the first thing I would like for you to recognize or to remember is, and I'm in a sense kind of working a little bit backwards here, but Abraham was 137 years old at the death of Sarah. That's what you'll read over in Genesis chapter 23 and in verse 1. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 17, you'll read that Sarah was 10 years younger than Abraham. And so we have the death of Sarah as 127 years old. That makes when Sarah died, Abraham was 137. And so my math is good enough. I can do that. I know that Abraham is 137 when Sarah dies. Then what we find, number two, is that Abraham's reference to the promise involving Isaac finding a wife. Turn to chapter 24. After Sarah died, a couple years pass, and Isaac is kind of out there. He's just kind of hurt and broken because his mama died. And Abraham says, it's time for you to get you a wife. And that brings us to speed up to chapter 24. And when Abraham sends his servant to go up to Haran, to get Isaac a wife, he gives him some instruction. And we don't have time to look at every bit of detail. You'll just have to read the book of Genesis on your own. But pick it up there in verse 7. As Abraham speaks to the servant, he says, The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife for unto my son from thence. He tells the servant, God's given me a promise. Still believes it, doesn't he? Still hanging on to it. Abraham at this time would be 139, 140 years of age. Isaac was born when he was 100. He's 137 when Sarah died, and it's a couple years before he's sent out. And so what we find is chapter 25, verse 20, will tell you that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. So how long did it take for the servant to get up there, get the woman, come back, bring it back to him? Abraham was 139, give or take. You'll allow me some tolerance. And so we see these things happen. And so Abraham continues to speak about and believes this promise that was given. And so in the chronology I numbered, and I forgot to give you the number three. Number three was the fact that Isaac was 40 when he married Rebekah. But if you'll go through the Scripture, chapter 25, verse 26, you'll find, point number four, you'll find that Isaac was 60 years old at Jacob's birth. And so he marries Rebekah. 20 years later, they have children. And Isaac is 60 when Jacob is born. Now remember, we began in chapter 48, we started with Jacob to begin with, but we come back and we covered a little bit about Abraham. And then point number five in this chronology is that Isaac was 75 years old at the death of his father Abraham. That only makes sense because Genesis 25:7 talks about the age of Abraham. When he died, he was 175. And so when Isaac was born, Abraham was 100. That makes Isaac 75 at the death of Dad. Now I submit unto you, at least from my perspective, I think it's safe to say that Abraham believed up until his death that he would have that promise that God gave him, and I believe with all of my heart that he would have taught Isaac all about it. And we just see a spattering all through the Scripture, I believe that. Do you think he kept that quiet? Or do you believe that Abraham, for the 75 years he had with his son, would have told him about this promise? That God brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave him this land and gave him a promise as an everlasting promise. Do you think he would have done that? I believe that he would have. And so, I just see that Abraham believed it all of his life. After I start the clock at 86. But then what happens? So I told you I'd talk about the four generations. We talk about Abraham for just a moment. Let's transition. We're still in the Scripture. You look over to chapter 26. Chapter 26. And God appears to Isaac regarding this promise. Now, I find that fascinating. In chapter 26 and verse 1, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee, and will give unto thee and unto thy seed. I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." He gets the same promise that Abraham had. It's just now passed to him. Well, that's because God promised to Abraham and all his seed, and the godly seed goes through Isaac. It doesn't go through Ishmael. Isaac, and I'm guessing here, I start the clock on this guy, and I'm taking it from the chapter 26, verse 34, speaking about Esau and his age and all that kind of thing. You can look at the notes and figure out whatever you want. I think, I'm guessing, that Isaac is about 100 years old when God speaks to him. He was 75 when Dad died, so he only has about 25 years, and God comes to him and speaks to him, and a famine comes in, and he says, "Don't go down to Egypt. Here's the promise." I guess 100 years old. Well, if you go through the Scripture, you read these things, you understand that Jacob deceives Isaac. And, of course they had children and all that. We'll back figure on those ages. But Jacob deceives Isaac. He steals the blessing from him. And what... Go to chapter 28. What does Isaac do to Jacob? He really doesn't do much of anything. But when it's time to get rid of Jacob because Esau wants to kill Jacob because he stole the blessing and all that, and... Well, that just wasn't a very kind thing to do, and Rebecca was all upset about that. Says, "You've got to send Jacob away." And Isaac calls in Jacob. And see what he tells him. Chapter 28, verse 3. And he says, "And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful." Listen to the verbiage. "And multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. To thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." Now, Isaac is approximately 138 years old here when this takes place. We really don't perceive the incredible age at which these guys lived until you really look in the text. And by the time you finish this, you're going to scratch your head and think, "Well, I really never thought of it that way." Every television program shows these guys in their 20s or 30s. They're dead wrong for it. And so what we find here is Isaac's 138 years old. They thought he was going to die. And that's why he stole the blessing from him. But he's 138. Isaac lives to be 180. So it kind of tricked him a little bit. I mean, he lived another 42 years after that. But Genesis 35:28 will tell you that he lives to be 180 years old. But here he is, Isaac, when he sends Jacob away, tells him what? The promise. Abraham told the promise to Isaac. I believe that Isaac would have told that same promise to Jacob and Esau and would have been teaching them all of their life about the very same promise that was given to Grandpa Abe and me and to you. Now, I believe that. I don't think I'm off track for believing that either. They believe the promises. And so here's Isaac blessing him, sending him away. And so what happens? Now we pass from Isaac to Jacob. Jacob takes off. He goes up to Bethel, remember? Chapter 28, verse 13. Look at it. Remember, he goes to sleep. Angels come down. He sees this vision. Verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it," above that ladder, "and he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." I haven't mentioned it up till now, but you know that includes the Messiah and the gospel and the whole nine yards. So you got to really embrace this promise. Isaac had been taught it all of his life, but it came a time when he was 100 years old when God told him the promise. So you start the clock on Isaac. Isaac taught Jacob and Esau that set very same promise. Esau just splits off, you know, he just kind of disappears. Isaac, though, well, how old is he now? When he's fleeing, God comes to him and speaks to him. Start the clock on Jacob. He'd heard it all of his life. But now God talks to him and says, "This is the promise. This is your promise." I start the clock on Jacob here. Well, you know about him. He runs up to Haran and ends up, you know, dealing with Laban and gets cheated on the wives and marries Rachel and Leah and Bilhah and Zilpah, and they have a baby war and all that kind of a thing. And after 14 years of labor, he says, "I don't have anything and I need a retirement. You know, my 401k went bankrupt. So what can we do about this?" And they fight over the sheep and the herd and all that kind of stuff. And then he works for 6 more years. And so Jacob was up there around Laban right around 20 years. So you know how that history unfolds. But after a period of time, and you have to jump way from chapter 28 now over to chapter 35. All that was just brief, compacted. Genesis chapter 35, after all that time, Jacob returns to the land of Padan Aram. He leaves Haran, he's coming back. By the way, if you'll remember in those scriptures in Genesis 28, Jacob made some promises to God. But anyway, here he's coming back. Genesis chapter 35 and verse 11. "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." Notice, "and the land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give thee land." Confirmation of the promise he received 20 plus years before when he was sleeping and saw the angels. Clock started back 20 years before. But he comes back into the land and he gets another confirmation. This land was Abraham's and it was Isaac's. And it's yours. Does Jacob believe that? I believe he does. At least from the time he saw the angels at Bethel. And I think you can put those pieces together. I submit unto you, and you might question this, but we're going to offer you we're going to step back and give you another chronology here. I submit unto you that Jacob was approximately 99 years old when this promise came to him in Genesis 35 when he came out of the land of Paddan Aram. The guy was 99. So you can't prove that. Oh, well, hold on. Let me see if I can prove that to you. Chronology. Well, I've got to work backwards for this one. At least that's how I did it, so that's how I'm going to share it to you, or I'd really get messed up. It's confusing enough as it is, and I'm looking at the notes. That's why I said you might want to grab the notes and think this through. But here, think about this. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, but I'm going to work backwards. Jacob lived in Egypt. Well, you know the history, right? Joseph, slavery, famine, plenty, all that kind of stuff. Israel comes to Egypt. You know how all that is. Jacob finally comes to Egypt. And, well, Jacob lived in Egypt, and he died at the ripe old age of 147 years old. That's Genesis chapter 47, verse 28. I'm not making that up. He was 147 years old. When we read in our text in chapter 48, we read that Jacob was alive, and he was wanting to secure Ephraim and Manasseh to his own descendants. And it was right before his death. So if he lived to be 147 years old, our text where we began at in chapter 48, he had to have been 146-ish, 140, maybe early 147, depends how much you want to take for partial years. He's approximately 146 years old in our text when he speaks to Joseph about Ephraim and Manasseh. Take a step back. How old was Jacob when he stood before Pharaoh? We have a scriptural reference to that in chapter 47. In verse 9, it tells us that Jacob was 130 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So he lived in Egypt after the time they came down. He lived in there 17 years, then he died. But he was 130 when he stood before Pharaoh. You say, why is that important? How old was Jacob when Joseph came out before Pharaoh? Well, you have to back figure that, because when Jacob came down into Egypt, the whole 7 years of plenty had already passed, plus 2 years of the famine had passed. And so, that's 9 years, is it not? So Genesis chapter 45, verse 6 will tell you that there were 2 years left, 5 years of famine left to go. That's 7 years, plus two is 9 years. And if he was 130 when he stood before Pharaoh, then you back up the 9 years, and he was 121 when Joseph stood before Pharaoh. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And Joseph stood before Pharaoh when he was 30 years old, according to Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. So, if... I've got to keep this straight. If Jacob was 121 when he stood before Pharaoh, and Joseph was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh after the dreams, how old does that make Jacob when Joseph was born? You've got to take the 30 off the 121. That means Jacob was 91 years old when Joseph was born, give or take a year or so. We don't know exactly in that 14-year span. Down at the end, I think it was right down at the end of that 14 years. And so that makes Jacob 91 years old when Joseph was born. That means that Jacob was approximately 78 years when departing Canaan to seek a wife. We all think that, well, you're probably about 30. That's 20 years older than me. And the guy was just heading out of Canaan to go get a wife. And all that stuff takes place. If I'm correct, and I believe I'm close enough, that if Jacob was about 78 years old when departing from Canaan, and he was about 146 years old when we read in our text that he said, "These are my kids, and the reason these are my kids is because the promise God gave to me when I was at Luz." That's 68 years, give or take. And I said from the start that I would submit unto you and prove to you that about 70 years pass between this promise that he speaks about and the time that it was given. And I think that's Bible. Well, we got one more guy, and I'm running out of time. Joseph is sold into slavery. You know that story there. He has a prison, and he dreams, and Jacob comes into Egypt, and all those things. We already relayed some of that history to you, but you know about Joseph. But I ask you, do you think the time that Joseph was at home before he got sold into slavery, do you think Jacob would have ever said anything about the promise? Do you think he ever taught them, all of his boys? Yeah, he did. You know he did. Well, we come to the passage and we find that Jacob blesses Joseph's boys when he is about 146, 147 years old. We understand that to be the case. This is 48 years after Jacob returns into the land of Canaan. And what that does is, at this point, that makes, when Jacob tells Joseph, these are my kids and here's the promise, and confirms the promise, Joseph would be about 56 years old. And that only makes sense when you figure he was 30 and then there was 9 before Dad came down. That makes him 39. He lived another 16, 17 years before he died. So that makes it 56. So here's Joseph, 56, and he hears... And so I start the clock on Joseph. Here. Had I believed it before? Maybe. But I start the clock on him here. So I've talked about the clocks and the starts on these guys, and I haven't really wrapped it up too much. I've just given you a bunch of numbers. But according to chapter 50, and look over there, and so we're at the end of the book, and you can go, whoo. Chapter 50, verse 24, Joseph said unto the brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto, notice, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. And Joseph died, being 110 years old, and he was embalmed. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So 54 years later, after Jacob says, these boys are mine, and the promise is issued to him, 54 years later, Joseph dies. So what's my assessment? That's the information we come all the way through the book. My assessment. How long was their faith? You're able to keep track if you agree with my clock starting. Abraham responded to God's promise at least 90 years. I mean, if he started at 86, if I'm right on 8, died at 175, I mean, that's just a shade under 90. So give or take, you'll allow me to say 90, wouldn't you? Isaac knew it practically all of his life. But if I was right on the start of the clock there, Isaac believed it 80 years. That's a long time to believe something, isn't it? Abraham believed it 90. Isaac believed it 80. Jacob knew it again all of his life. He had been taught it. But he responded, if I start the clock right, but he responded 68 years. Well, we have that from the text where we started in our text and went backward to Bethel. And then, of course, we finish up here with Joseph, who also would have known all of his life. And he was taught that as a little boy. But he responded, at least, if I start the clock right, 54 years. 54 years. Now, if you would, go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I just remind you that all four of these guys are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. That's no accident either, but Abraham is spoken of from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 down through verse 19. I only point to you verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What we found all the way through, wasn't it? Isaac is mentioned in chapter 11, verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. All involved the promise. Jacob, verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a-dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. That's where we started in our text. He was 146. When he was a dying, yeah, that's right, wasn't it? But when he blessed him, what did he talk about? Remember that promise? Remember that promise? Joseph, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And so I haven't gone astray, have I? I don't believe so. And the Hall of Faith talks about these guys. And you say, okay, well, what would you conclude from all this? Well, I'm going to give you a conclusion here. Number one, I ask you, do you have faith? What's the purpose of spending this time to offer you this information? I ask you, do you have faith? And of course, I'm speaking specifically about the mention of salvation. Is there a time that you know that God saved you? You repented of your sins. You believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you eternal life. You went from darkness to light. Amen. Hear the morning messages. And you were from death to life. Do you have that kind of salvation? But of course, I would not exclude the faith in God's other promises. I mean, you know, the truths of God's Word. Do you believe those kind of things and all that? But do you have faith, specifically saving faith? And then I would ask you, is it a faith that has endured and shall endure? None of us have a guarantee as far as what's life going to bring before us. But your perspective of your faith now, do you think it's going to last? What do you think about that? Or will you hear a doctrine someday that you don't particularly care too much for and you're walking off and you'll never come back? That happens. I would remind you, talked about lifelong faith. I would remind you, the Scripture tells us in three places, but Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe genuine faith in Jesus Christ is a lifelong faith. It will last forever. And may I submit unto you, by God's grace, our faith will be generational. We looked at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, generational. Parents, are you telling your children about the promises of God? The truths of God's Word, how God changed your life and made a difference? Those guys were taught it all their lives. But there came a point in time where they actually received it as their own. That's where I started the clock. So. By God's grace, this kind of faith will be generational too. Let me submit unto you very quickly the elements of a lifelong faith. I'm just going to enumerate these. If you're going to have a lifelong faith, I believe that you have to receive the Word of God. I believe that you have to believe the Word of God. Not only have it, but believe it. And then I submit unto you, you have to be directed by the Word of God. And so you can have the Word of God, you can believe the Word of God, but if you're not going to respond to the Word of God, you don't have any assurance that your supposed faith is going to last. If you understand what I'm saying here. And if you're going to be directed by the Word of God, you need to keep the Word in memory, and you need to assess your conditions and circumstances for application in regard to the Word, and then you need to apply that Word. So if you want to guarantee, and I speak this from a human perspective, I'm not sure how to express it any other way. If you want to have a lifelong faith, you have to stay in the book, you have to believe the book, and you have to apply the book to your life. And you know what? You'll believe it all your life, and you'll die believing it. Again, the just shall live by faith. May it be a lifelong faith. May yours be a lifelong faith. And these guys believed it for 90 years. 80 years. Man, that's a long time, isn't it? Some of you have believed nearly long, that long, haven't you? Some of you have believed for 50 years and 60 years, maybe 70 years. I don't know your ages, so I can't go too high. But I would remind you as I finish that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and verse 39 tells us, now the just shall live by faith, that if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Ooh, scary. And it is. But Scripture says, But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Genuine faith in Christ is a lifelong faith. If you're really saved, you'll believe it all the way to the end. And you'll cling to it, and you'll never depart from it. Why? Because we believe to the saving of the soul. Or else we're going to have to rewrite Hebrews there a little bit and say, well, it didn't really work for them. You say, well, I've known people who did it for 50 years and then they walked away from it and they rejected it and they become apostates. What does that tell you? All I can say is the Bible says it's a lifelong faith, and I just believe it's a lifelong faith. And if, say, somebody cuts out and runs from it, I don't care how long they believe it. If they cut from it, it's not lifelong. It's not genuine. That's my take on it. But I pray that the faith that you have is a lifelong faith, genuine to the core, knowing Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. And that encouraged me when I saw, man, look at the years that these guys believe that. Wow. I've only been saved 42 years, 43 years. No, 42. I can't even count. 42 years. I've got a long way to go to catch up with these guys. I'm out of time. It's your time.